Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. I've been working the last 15 years on a book. It started out as to be a book on the history of information theory. And then I started reading the Wiener papers, the archives at MIT, and I got fascinated with cybernetics. It's an interesting question about whether it should be a milestone. Okay, what I'm going to do, this book I've just finished, it's in press, it's called The Cybernetics Moment, which may conflict a little bit with the goals of this society, and I want to talk about that at the end of the talk today, and it's called Why We Call Our Age the Information Age. And it has a lot to do with cybernetics, so that may be one reason to call cybernetics a milestone. So, but what I'm going to do is talk about a very small part of that book, and it's a chapter about the popularization of cybernetics. By popularization, I mean this in a very wide sense. Not just writing a book where you simplify the mathematics, but where you extend cybernetics to most of the social sciences, a lot of physics, chemistry, biology, and so forth. So, but I'm going to focus on that. I would call all of these books popularizations, even the first one. The Cybernetics was an extremely successful book. It sold extremely well, much to the surprise of a lot of people. Human Use of Human Beings, the two autobiographies, and this Wiener's last book, God and Golem. So what I want to talk about is the mathematics of popularization. I don't mean the popularization of mathematics, okay? What I mean is how we use mathematics to extend cybernetics and also to circumscribe it, because he was worried that groups like Dianetics were appropriating cybernetics, which they did. L. Ron Hubbard, who's a scientist and engineer, he's also a friend of Claude Shannon's, by the way. There's an interesting correspondence between in Shannon's papers about L. Ron Hubbard and Warren McCulloch, who's head of the Macy conferences. Dianetics was claiming Wiener as one of their founding fathers, and so Wiener contacts his lawyer about this. So I only have 10 minutes today for my talk. If I had longer, this would be half the talk, and what I'm going to give would be the other half. So let me turn to the other half. I'll bring it up again in the end. So he's using Wiener, not Hubbard. Wiener is using mathematics to regulate the boundaries of cybernetics. You would think, how can cybernetics have boundaries, right? Because this, the premise of cybernetics is that control and communications engineering explain all of life and all intelligent machines. So how can this have boundaries? Well, he was concerned about the boundaries. And I think this is a page, I think that's where, yeah, that's where in information, he defines information as the logarithm of entropy. He does it, I'm going to talk about two books, Cybernetics and The Human Use of Human Beings. They both sold extremely well. Okay. In Cybernetics, in the beginning and at the end, he says, my good friends, Margaret Mead and Gregory Bateson, Bateson's daughter, spoke yesterday to open the conference, have encouraged me to apply my energies to applying cybernetics to the major social issues of the day. He criticized their excessive optimism, is what he called it, about applying cybernetics to the social sciences. And he says this is almost the last two sentences of cybernetics. In the social sciences, we have to deal with short statistical runs, nor can we be sure that a considerable part of what we observe is not an artifact of our creation. In other words, the problem of the observer, which he wrote a paper in the Philosophy of Science about. We cannot afford to neglect the social statistics. Neither should we build exaggerated expectations of their possibilities. This is a remarkable statement because the next book, The Human Use of Human Being, the subtitle is Cybernetics and Society. Okay, so why is this? Well, the mathematics he's talking about is not control theory, and is not information theory, per se. It is prediction theory, you know, in the Yellow Peril book. So he's talking about prediction and time series. That's why he's talking about short runs of data, and he's also concerned about the observer. He thinks the social sciences, the observer is too big, right? Right? The observer is not like the size, right? The observer is too big and influences the result. That's what he says in Cybernetics in the last chapter of the book. He also criticized the way other people apply mathematics to cybernetics. So this is a quote from a letter that he received from Charles Holt at the Carnegie Institute of Technology. And he said, Holt says that he and his colleague Herbert Simon You may have heard of Herbert Simon, who won the Nobel Prize in Economics. They're applying serval theory to management decision problems, and they're sending some papers to Wiener and said, look what we've done. We're using cybernetics in this area. What do you think? And he wrote back and said, the general treatment you give does not seem to be particularly closely related to any technique of observation. So there's the observer again. And I get the causal impression of rather tenuous theory as well. So Simon went on to win the Nobel Prize in Economics for his theory of bounded rationality. A lot of that is based on the cybernetics, which he learned from Ashby, if Pickering is here. In contrast, Wiener liked a lot better what Gregory Bateson was doing with cybernetics. And there's a couple of letters back and forth between him and Bateson, praising Bateson's work, supporting his work for a grant from the Macy Foundation. And Bateson writes about it in a famous letter in behavioral sciences anyway. It was our conversation at your house which gave me the central idea for what became his double-blind theory of schizophrenia. What Bateson is doing is making an analogy between giving a computer a paradox, one of those Russellian paradoxes, and analogizing that to how to do psychiatry. So what does he do with the human use of human beings? His subtitle is Cybernetics and Society. Well, I would argue there are no equations in the book. There are some word equations. There's one word equation, at least one, that says defines entropy, information as the negative logarithm of a probability. I mean, it's in words. I would argue that he uses mathematical reasoning to, just like before, he was using mathematics to draw a boundary around cybernetics and exclude particular use of mathematics in cybernetics. Here he's using this mathematical reason. It forms the whole book. So the whole book, right, is informed by the idea, this, you know, he and Shannon independently in 1948, right, published this equivalence between definition of information and entropy. For Wiener, it was negative entropy. So he says the thesis of this book, that society can only be understood through a study of messages. And the communication facilities belong to it. And he used these communication machines, which is, that's his phrase, for the moth bed bug, which simulates like a Parkinson's disease, and the hearing glove to teach the deaf to speak to illustrate those principles. So what I would argue, he used mathematics here to extend cybernetics. And this is not using prediction theory or control theory or, quite frankly, information theory beyond what I just said. But it's using that mathematical reasoning of information as negative entropy to do that. In fact, he comes up with a semantic theory of information. And in my research, I must have counted 30 scholars. And sometimes I give them a talk, and another scholar will come up and say, well, I have a semantic theory of information that comports with Shannon's theory of information. Wiener himself, in that book, equated amount of information with amount of meaning, and he was criticized for it by Donald Mackay, British information theorist, and Yehoshua Bar Hillel, Israeli philosopher of science. So there is he's extending cybernetics into linguistics in his way. Economics, I have my undergrads read this book in an information science class I teach, a history of information science class I teach, and this passage just confounds my undergrad students. They cannot understand this passage. Just as entropy tends to increase, right, the degradation of energy or the availability of energy to do work, tends to increase spontaneously in a closed system, so information tends to decrease because it's negative entropy. Just as entropy is a measure of disorder, so information is a measure of order. Therefore, information and entropy are not conserved and are equally unsuited to being commodities. So there's a couple of places in there where he says information is not well suited to be a commodity at all. And he's drawing on mathematical reasoning to state this. And again, he's carving out a boundary here because if you look in the correspondence, he does not like econometrics. He thinks they have shaky ways of using time series. And this is one way to do it, to show that information cannot be a commodity. How am I doing this time?
You have 2 minutes.
Good. Good. Okay, so let me close. I argue in the book that what I call the cybernetics moment as a universal discipline, there's all this excitement about it in the 50s, 60s, and 70s and all these different fields. It collapses when there's a decline in the scientific status of cybernetics. People give all kinds of reasons. It's association with Dianetics, it's association with science fiction, it's association with the counterculture, and so forth. Meaning information theorists and other scientists believe it's collapsing. So Stuart Brand, the founder of the Whole Earth Catalog, interviews Margaret Mead and Gregory Bateson, in the mainstays of the Macy Conferences in 1976. It's 30 years after the Macy Conferences started. About that time, and 25 years after they ended. And he asked them to explain this. Part of the interview, he asked, what happened to cybernetics? Why didn't it become public knowledge in the US? Not that it doesn't exist somewhere, it did, but why didn't it become public knowledge? Margaret Mead thought it was because cybernetics was associated with Soviet Union, with Soviet communism. And that's the answer she gave. And Gregory Bateson drew a diagram. And Margaret says, you better draw that out because it won't come across in this interview. So the top, Bateson says, cybernetics did not become adopted widespreadly in a widespread manner in the behavioral sciences because of the engineer input-output way of thinking. Whereas Wiener, and they enroll Wiener in this, Wiener considers the observer. Bateson considers the observer, what became known as second-order cybernetics. And he also, interestingly, and Margaret Mead in that interview says, I considered in this loop too weak. It's a broader ecosystems view of cybernetics. And so definitely up to 2010 or so when my research appeared in my research, about 2000 or so, the top diagram right is the first order cybernetics associated with the IEEE Society of Systems Man of Cybernetics. Right, the bottom diagram, second order with American Society for Cybernetics. Okay, so one of the conclusions I have in the book, because I also have a discussion of the history of information discourse, and why people talk about information, what's the relationship between all this work on information and talking about an information society? And what I came to the conclusion was that rich way of talking in cybernetics, in the human use of human beings, in Shannon, right, in Brand, in the Coevolutionary Quarterly, all over the place, was flattened. Right, it was very much flattened. And I talk about an information age, where cybernetics gets truncated in this public discourse, not at this conference, of course, right? But in a public discourse, it gets truncated to an adjective, an all-purpose adjective, cyber, and information is definitely treated as a utopian commodity. Thank you. Mm-hmm.